Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Governor Pat McCrory was in Washington this week testifying before Congress in favor of allowing drilling off the North Carolina coast, and he urged federal lawmakers to abandon a 50-mile buffer included in a proposal from the Obama administration. Here to talk about the potential dangers of drilling off our coastline is Sierra Weaver with the Southern Environmental Law Center.
Sierra, thank you for joining us today. Talk to us a little bit about where we are with offshore drilling in North Carolina. Some of our listeners may know that the Obama administration opened up the process with a 5-year draft plan. The public's had a little bit of a chance to comment on it, but paint that picture for where we are today.
Sure. In January of 2015, the Obama administration released its draft proposed program for offshore leasing from 2017 to 2022. They are at the start of this process. We went through public comment on the draft proposed program. Now they're going back and taking those comments, figuring out what the folks said, what issues were raised, what scientific concerns were raised by these comments. And then they'll go back and release a new proposed plan and a draft environmental impact statement, probably in late 2015. Once they do that, the public will have another 90 days to evaluate what they've said and again come back with their comments. So the federal government talks about this as a whittling down of its proposal, a refinement of its proposal. So it'll be important for the folks to weigh in with what they would like to see refined and how they would like to see the plan whittled down.
And while everybody probably has an opinion about offshore drilling, it was actually the governors of several of these states that expressed an interest in having us go down this road for exploration.
Exactly. The four states that have been proposed for leasing in the Southeast United States, Virginia, North Carolina, South Carolina, and Georgia, were all specifically requested by their governors. The same thing goes for the Gulf of Mexico and Alaska, where drilling has also been proposed. The places where drilling is off limits on the West Coast and in the Northeast are places where the governors have very clearly said, not off our coast, we have too many other priorities, our resources are too important to risk.
Governor McCrory has said, well, this is about jobs. This is an opportunity that we can't afford to miss. The Southern Environmental Law Center and other organizations are very concerned about the beaches and about certain species.
What we know is these areas already provide for thriving economies, whether it's tourism, recreational fishing, commercial fishing. There are incredible resources out in these places that could be in direct conflict with both offshore drilling as well as the infrastructure and industrialization that comes along with offshore drilling. So yes, we are very concerned about the communities that are out there, about the clean air, clean water, about the species that live out there, whether they be commercially fished species or imperiled species that are barely hanging on for survival and need all the help they can get. There have also been studies showing that wind energy, for example, has an opportunity to provide sustainable clean jobs off the coast of North Carolina compared to the dirty jobs that would come with the oil industry.
Do we even have an idea of how much oil is possibly out there? What are we talking about?
Yeah. The best available science shows that we have 3% of the nation's offshore oil reserves in the entire mid and South Atlantic and 6% of the nation's offshore oil and gas. So that's not North Carolina specific. That's the entire Southeast. And it is a fraction of what you see in Alaska or the Gulf of Mexico or other places. We're one of the lowest potential areas off the entire United States.
It's almost like fracking.
It's exactly. And in both of those cases, we would say the risks are just way too great. We've got too much to lose in these areas.
Our newest U.S. Senator, Tom Tillis, had introduced legislation earlier this year that would allow for there to be offshore drilling. Part of the legislation said, well, we will have the drilling rigs no closer than, I believe, 35 miles, which they said would be outside the sight line. We wouldn't see it, so you wouldn't feel it. You'd never even know it was there. What do you say to folks who say, well, you're not even going to be touched by this because you won't be able to visibly see these rigs?
First off, oil that is spilled from these rigs doesn't know the boundaries they're supposed to stay out of. So the Deepwater Horizon oil disaster in 2010 in the Gulf of Mexico, for example, was 50 miles offshore. So we know that these buffers that folks like to talk about don't really protect the coast from the potential of an oil spill. In addition to that, even if everything goes perfectly, the industrialization of the coast that will be required to build the pipelines, the refineries, the other types of infrastructures will fundamentally change these areas that are home to fragile marshlands, barrier islands, endangered species habitats, all of those things that make the Southeast Coast so incredibly special.
There are some groups that have come out very vocally opposed to the drilling. I'm thinking about folks who make their living on the coast, the tourism industry, fisheries. Talk to us a little bit about those groups.
There's been sort of a groundswell of opposition that is growing all along the coast of the Southeast United States. What the federal government has found as they have done their public meetings is that the attendance is going up at every one of the meetings as folks learn more and more about what's at stake. A meeting they had on the Outer Banks a couple of weeks ago had 670 people. It was a record attendance for one of these federal agency meetings on offshore drilling. So yes, those folks who are most directly impacted and most at risk from this industrialization are starting to speak up. They are making their voices heard, and they are saying, not off our coast. We have too much at stake here.
It really comes down to the science versus the politics, as you've said.
Absolutely. The best available science out there shows that these areas, our coast, is incredibly vulnerable. If an oil spill happens here, the marshes can't be cleaned up. The oyster beds can't be cleaned up. It's really, really tough to protect these areas and to bring them back if something were to go wrong. So it is very, very important to protect these areas before the damage occurs.
You've been in this field for a very long time. You've studied the Exxon Valdez spill. You studied Deepwater Horizon. Talk to us about lessons learned from that.
Lessons learned from those spills, I would say, most of all, we're still learning. The Exxon Valdez happened in 1989, and there are scientific committees that are still studying the impacts of that spill. There are fisheries that still have not recovered from that spill. So these are impacts from oil spills we see not happening just years after the fact, but even generations after the fact. Deepwater Horizon in the Gulf of Mexico is only 5 years ago at this point, and they are still finding the oil, finding dead dolphins, finding fisheries that have been impacted. So that education about what has happened out there is going to continue for a long time. What they find every time they get a bit of new information is the impacts are greater than they expected, and they're different than they expected. So dispersants that were used at unprecedented levels in the Gulf of Mexico were thought to be saving the day at the time. They kept the oil from getting to the beaches. They're now being blamed for health impacts. They're also being blamed for ecological impacts and sinking the oil to the bottom where it's affecting deepwater corals and fish habitat.
So the technology can get better with each of these spills. We learn lessons, but the problem is that the ramifications are very long-lasting, and in some cases we don't know what they're going to be for years to come.
That's exactly right. We really don't know what the impacts of an oil spill will be and the technology required to clean it up.
Talk to me about what the next steps will be. We've heard a little bit about seismic testing. Tell our listeners what that exactly means for North Carolina's coast.
So seismic testing is actually under review right now by the state of North Carolina and also by the federal government. This is the use of air guns to blast sound into the ocean to get the signals back and try to find out where the oil and gas reserves are. This is what the oil industry will use to decide where they want to lease, where they want to drill. What we know is that seismic testing has its own impacts to marine mammals, to commercial fish stocks. A lot of folks have concerns about what this does to all of marine life. In fact, a group of scientists just submitted a letter to the federal government and said, you've completely underestimated the impacts of seismic on populations of fish and marine mammals. You need to fully take account the impacts this will have on the marine environment. So you've got scientists weighing in, you've got folks who are very concerned about the impacts, and those could be starting later this year. So even if drilling is farther down the line, the harmful impacts of seismic could be right around the corner.
So the initial period for comment on the offshore drilling proposal has concluded, but people can still have their say and they can still influence this decision.
Sure. There will be additional federal opportunities for comment. So those will be published. Those will be publicized. There will be 90 days that the public can weigh in on that the next time that opens up. Right now, there are opportunities to weigh in with Governor Pat McCrory. Tell Governor McCrory that you are not interested in oil drilling off the coast. Tell him what the coast means to you and why a clean ocean environment and a clean coastal economy matters. You can weigh in with the governor. You can also weigh in with local governments. A number of local governments in North Carolina and throughout the Southeast have passed resolutions saying no seismic or no oil drilling off of our coasts.
And ultimately, your hope is that that will convince the federal government to take the Atlantic off the list.
Absolutely. We could be taken out of this process at any time. Once the federal government decides that an area is too special to drill, is sort of the language that they have used, it's off the table until the next five-year plan. So it is our hope that we will use the science, use the public outcry, and say, not off our coast, not now.
And folks who want more information can go to the Southern Environmental Law Center?
Yes, www.southernenvironment.org.
Up next, the shortage of women in political offices. Stay with us.